Welcome back, listener, to the Diaries of June. I'm your host, Autumn Driver, and I'm so happy to see you're still interested in hearing about my Nana June. A little housekeeping before we get started. I thought we'd try a theme for each episode, and this time our theme is feedback. Speaking of, if you have any to share about the podcast, let me know how you think I'm doing. So right before I started recording this, I took Spunky for a walk around the island. Spunky's my dog, by the way. You might have heard his cameo last episode. Anyway, it's drizzling out today, and the entire island is covered in this thick mist. It would almost be spooky if it weren't so ethereal and beautiful. Whoever designed this place was kind of brilliant. They really knew what they were doing. It has that feeling of special attention, you know? Like one person spent a long time making everything just so. Even with most of the buildings long abandoned, the sight of them rising out of the fog like mythical monuments is still so impressive. The walk put me in the absolute perfect mood for a dive into Nana June's diary. This episode, I have a special entry to share from 1916, when Nana June was serving as a battlefield nurse in World War I. Like I said last episode, I'm convinced that Nana June is actually a superhero. Vigilante detective, battlefield nurse. Is there anything she can't do? I haven't finished reading her diary yet, but I wouldn't be surprised to find an entry about that one time she got bit by a radioactive spider. Anyway, this entry really struck a chord with me. And I think it might strike a chord with you too, listener. I've never been on a battlefield, but I have dealt with my fair share of frustrating coworkers. And haven't we all? 1916, 2020. It's kind of funny to realize just how timeless some things are. I'm not sure that I mentioned this in the last episode. I work with a law firm in San Francisco. While I'm here hunkering down on Orchid Island, I've been working remotely, which has led to some interesting issues as far as colleague relations go. Have you ever worked with someone like this? Their heart seems to be in the right place, but they're maybe not exactly cut out for the job. And you try your best to give them the benefit of the doubt, but you're only human. You see their mistakes and you get frustrated. At least I do. So then I read this entry from Nana June. And I saw how she dealt with her coworker. And something just clicked. It's not the same situation, of course, but the way she handled it. Classy as all get out. Let's read. You'll see what I mean. March 1916, Field Hospital, Verdun. Diary, forgive me for not writing more often. It's been difficult to find a moment of peace these days. I'm stationed in the north of France at the moment, where our soldiers have been under siege by German troops. The beds here at the hospital have been filling far too quickly, and emptying in such a manner that leaves me heartbroken for their families back home. I and the other nurses do what we can to heal, or at least make comfortable what can't be healed. And a new nurse recently joined our outfit. She's young, very young. Too young for war, if you ask me. Then again, so are the 18-year-old boys carrying guns bigger than they are. This young nurse, she arrived to us with little to no training. And I suspect closer to no training. I'm noticing more and more reinforcements. Nurses and soldiers alike are being thrust into this war, ready or not. I suppose desperate times call for such measures. But our young nurse, Nurse Eau Claire, has found herself utterly in over her head. The poor thing can barely wrap a sprained ankle, let alone assist the doctors in any major medical intervention. These soldiers come to us needing immediate attention, not as medical dummies to provide on-the-job training. Our attending physician asked for Nurse Eau Claire to shadow me, as he put it, until she can tell a pair of forceps from a hole in the ground. A bit of an exaggeration of her inexperience, but not much of one. The poor thing just stood there, staring at the ground. With some reservation, I took Nurse Eau Claire with me on my rounds and explained our general way of working. But it's never the same day twice, I warned the young nurse. Don't let your attention wander. 1 minute you'll be reading to a soldier who's lost his sight. The next, you'll be helping the doctors amputate an arm. I half expected her to turn tail and run home at that description. I almost hoped for it. It would save me the trouble of having to clean up after her mistakes. She merely nodded, eyes cast down. In that moment, I felt only a hot flame of frustration. What right did this young woman, no more than a girl, really, have to be nursing on the front lines? She would get in the way, make mistakes, slow us down. I'm afraid my prediction came true, and rather swiftly. When asked for a swab, she delivered a tongue depressor. I thought it best not to ask her to assist with tying a tourniquet after that. Trying to find a use for her while trying to keep my eye on her was pushing me to my limits. Then, diary, I'm afraid things got worse. One of our troops had a bad encounter with a landmine, and our hospital was suddenly flooded with severely wounded arrivals. Nothing new to me, I'm sorry to say, but for our young Nurse Eau Claire, I don't think I've ever seen a face drain of color so quickly. I knew at once she was going to faint. Faint she did, and right into a bed we desperately needed for a wounded soldier. I'm half ashamed to admit it, diary, but some part of me was rather satisfied to see our attending physician unceremoniously drag her to the floor, out of the way. Sometime after, I and the rest of the properly trained nurses managed to stabilize the soldiers. Nurse Eau Claire found me and profusely apologized. I don't know what I expected, she confided in me, but nothing like this. I admit my first instinct was to roll my eyes, but Mrs. Talbot raised me better than that, and so I channeled her then in my reply. Nana June mentions Mrs. Talbot a lot throughout her diary. I should explain. Mrs. T was the family's live-in housekeeper, and something of a surrogate mother to Nana June and her sister. And from some of Nana June's earliest entries about being forced to take etiquette classes, I take it that Mrs. T cared very much about raising proper young ladies. And Nana June cared very little about learning which forks go where. Anyway, let's get back to the entry. War gets the best of all of us, I told Nurse Eau Claire, privately wondering how to politely communicate that some of us have more grit than others, and perhaps she should consider another line of work. It's just, she began, then burst into tears. Diary, I've seen all manner of horrors in my time as a nurse. I can mend broken bones and stitch wounds without batting an eye. But the moment someone starts sobbing in front of me, I'm about as effective as a two-legged horse. Again, I channeled Mrs. Talbot. I patted Nurse Eau Claire's shoulder, albeit rather awkwardly, and asked her how she'd come to be a nurse. My husband, she told me through tears. My husband is fighting, and I couldn't bear to wait at home for him. So here I am. I thought I could make a difference. Maybe it was foolish of me to think that. I softened at that admission, diary. Her intentions were noble, even if her ability was lacking. And hadn't I, just 2 years earlier, been a quivering leaf at the sight of my first bullet wound? I'm sure the more experienced nurses had thought me ridiculous at the time. That's admirable, I told her. And eventually you will make a difference. It will just take more training. And less fainting. I managed to get a smile out of her, but it was short-lived. Another wave of soldiers injured by the landmine had arrived, and we were quickly inundated with stitching and wrapping the wounded. I asked Nurse O'Claire to keep her distance, but to watch carefully. From time to time, I quizzed her to make sure she was paying attention, and she surprised me, Diary. She was a quick study, even if she was green. It seemed all she needed was a moment of humanity, some encouragement, a reminder of why she was here. I must remember to thank Mrs. Talbot for teaching me not to let my temper fly. Had I told the poor girl off, as was my first inclination, I might very well have scared her away from nursing permanently. As it turns out, I think she could become quite capable someday. Later, after our shifts ended, I took Nurse O'Claire aside and invited her to join me in the canteen. She was shy at first, but soon we were giggling like schoolgirls over some of the cuter soldiers. "Of course I'm married," Nurse O'Claire whispered to me. "But that one over there is handsome enough to make anyone do a double take, don't you think?" Diary, she wasn't wrong. The handsome soldier in question was in fact a pilot by the name of Jack Hayes, who hails from Boston. I met him a few weeks prior at a bar frequented by expats, where we swapped stories of America over drinks. Jack is devilishly handsome, and just as charming, especially in his roguishness. The ace pilot with a wild story for every corner of Europe. I would recount the details of those tales, but I admit, I might have taken more notice of his lips than I had the words coming out of them. Between you and I, Diary, and I wouldn't dare admit this to anyone else, I've been hoping to run into him again. Something electric seemed to pass between us that night. How his cheeks had reddened after a few whiskeys. And how, after a few whiskeys of my own, I couldn't stop imagining his touch on the small of my back. Oh, one supposes a guy like that has a gal back home. But Nurse O'Claire and I lingered in the canteen perhaps a bit longer than we would have if she hadn't spotted him. She teased me some, and I welcomed it. The formation of a friendship, I would think. I don't think I've admitted to myself how much I've needed one here. And I'm grateful for it. Isn't it funny, Diary, how such things turn out? Perhaps next time I write, I'll have made fast friends with a certain pilot, too. And there we have it. Nana June is a class act, isn't she? She's in the middle of war, and she still took the time to be a decent human being. How cool is that? She could have ripped that poor girl to shreds, but instead she was patient and compassionate. I love it. I love her. And I also love her little crush on this pilot, Jack. From what I've read later in the diary, it sounds like they became friends. And maybe more? I actually don't know. I haven't read that far. But it's romantic to imagine, isn't it? A nurse and a pilot finding romance against the backdrop of war. Her life is like a movie. So, back at the top of the episode, I mentioned the theme of feedback. And I'll mention it again, because the way Nana June handled the situation with Nurse O'Claire is just so human, you know? And it got me thinking. This coworker of mine, I've never tried to connect with them on that level. Instead, I get frustrated and stew about it. I'm no Nana June. Patience is not my virtue. But I think I can learn something from Nana June. I, too, can stifle my eye rolls and try to find it in my heart to be compassionate. Like, maybe this person is going through a tough time at home. And I won't know until I try to start a dialogue. Like Nana June did with Nurse O'Claire. I'll let you know how it goes, listener. Next time, I'll ask myself, what would Nana June do? And they say you can't learn from the past. Well, actually, I guess they say the exact opposite. That if we don't learn from the past, we're doomed to repeat it. And speaking of the past, for the next episode, I thought we'd take a look back to 1910 and hear from Nana June while she's on the job as a typist. This entry literally jumped out at me, as in, it actually fell out of the diary. It's a typed entry that seems like it was pasted onto a page at one point. Nana June's diary is full of little treasures like this one. I'll have to tell you about some of the photographs I found next time. Anyway, I won't spoil too much of the next episode, but I think it will give us some insight into what compelled Nana June's badass self along all of her adventures. As for the theme, the key word is burnout. No, not the college stoner kind of burnout. More like that feeling you get when you have to wake up in the morning and drag yourself to a job you're not passionate about. I hope your interest is piqued, lovely listener. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please feel free to give me feedback. More sound effects? More spunky? More Nana June swooning over handsome pilots? I got you, June crew. Hey, June crew. That has a nice ring to it. Doesn't it, Spunky? If you're still listening to this, congratulations. You're in my inner circle, my June crew. And I'm so happy you're here. Until next time, then, June crew. See you in 1910.
This has been June's Journey, The Lost Diaries, from Wooga. You can step into June Parker's shoes and become the detective herself in June's Journey, the number one hidden object game in the world. Live the glamorous 1930s life as you journey around the world, finding hidden objects, adventure, and even a little romance. Download June's Journey for free on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Thanks for listening.